for him to die for us. So I hope it was meaningful to you. I hope it will continue to be meaningful for you, because it is a wonderful instruction from the Lord. This morning, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And these are Paul's kind of personal instructions to Timothy. Okay, he's talked in the beginning of chapter 4 about being a good servant of Christ and for about some that will leave the faith. But now he gets kind of personal with him. And so I want to start with this. How many times have you heard the phrase, "Do as I say, not as I do"? How many of you have used that phrase before about yourself? Okay, good. There's some honest people here. Okay. I think we've all heard them. Maybe we've done them. Maybe not the actual words, but at least the attitude behind them, right? Anytime someone adopts the attitude, "Do as I say, not as I do," we find it's hard to respect the person, okay? Because it's hypocritical to say one thing and to do another. When a person's actions don't match his words, the person lacks a bit of integrity. Okay? And when the person lacks integrity, he loses credibility. And we just don't trust as much the person who says, "Do as I say, not as I do." Because if your actions don't back up what you say, you know, we got a problem. This is especially true as a leader. Now, 20 years ago, I was a young youth pastor. I was very unsure about myself. And I was in a church that was in going through some very difficult times. Okay? I don't remember the specific context of the event, but I was caught in a lie. Because I said I texted a person some information when I did not. Okay? I did that out of fear. I admitted my lie when I was caught in it. I asked for forgiveness. But the family eventually left the church. Not just about me, but one of the things she told me was that she couldn't trust me anymore. Okay? So that made a very powerful impact on me. A very hurtful one, but a very true one. And from that point on, I have been very careful to tell the truth all the time, even if it hurts. Now, do I fail at that sometimes? Yes. But I try very, very hard to do that. There have been times when it's not been easy to tell the truth, but it has always been the right decision. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives some advice to Timothy himself. And I think it's important to remember that Timothy is actually a personal letter written from Paul to his young disciple. Okay? And so with that, let's look at our passage this morning. Paul says, "Command and teach these things, Timothy. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching, and do not neglect the gift which you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." So Paul begins by giving Timothy some very clear instruction. "Take the things I've written to you in this letter and teach them to the believers in Ephesus, and make sure that they understand they are to obey them." Okay? If Timothy was wondering where his next sermon series was going to come from, he doesn't have to worry anymore. He just got a whole year's worth of material, if not more. Okay, from Paul himself. And I think as a young pastor, that would be encouraging to have your next year's sermon series already laid out for you. Right? But then Paul switches from what Timothy is to teach to how he is to live. Okay, he says, "Set for the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Okay? So the question here is, why the emphasis on how Timothy lives? Yeah, okay. A couple of things. One, first, he's young-ish. He's probably in his 30s. Now, I'm getting to the point where I think if you're 30, you're kind of young. But it's taken me a long time to get there, okay? When you hit 50, you start realizing that, yeah, I know. But I look at like Dallas and Denny and these guys, Wes, I'm like, man, you're young, okay? I can no longer call myself a young family, which is really weird for me, okay? So Timothy is in his 30s. And while that's not young by today's standards, for the people in the first century, you were only wise if you had gray hair, okay? If you were older. So a 30-year-old pastor is kind of like, you're kind of young. Do you really know what you're talking about? And so Timothy may not have the respect of the older group. How do you win their respect? Not so much by what you teach, more by what you live. Okay, so I think that's one thing. Second, social experts tell us that more information is caught by example than taught by others. Okay, and I think that's important. We'll look at that here in a second. Stephen Graves tells this story. He says, on any other day, I wouldn't have given it a second thought to the all-familiar greeting of one of my routine breakfast places. But on this particular day, it caught my attention. Instead of being welcomed by the manager, as is usually the case, one of his employees was manning the counter. This was a bagel shop. And yet nothing had changed. Same words, same tone, just a different person delivering it. There was no sophisticated employee training or mandatory responses. I didn't think anyone told this kid what to say or how to say it. So how did his greeting end up being so closely mirroring the style and delivery of his boss? My guess is that it was caught. I imagine the young kid spent day after day working behind his boss making bagels while customers were greeted. He heard the words repeated. He's heard the friendly tone and seen the customer's warm response. And without consciously considering it, without even thinking about it, he adopted it. Words, tone, and everything. Okay? He caught it. So here's my question to you. Do you sound like one of your parents? Okay? Are there phrases you say that are like, I've heard that before? Okay? My wife has some. She admits it. Okay? How many of you would say there's a phrase or two I say that I got from my mom or dad? Okay? Yeah, there's some. Maybe from a boss, employer, coach, something else. Okay? I must say this all the time in the shop because I get kids that say it back to me. Get to work! And they'll go, get to work! And I'm like, you know, that. It's going to be my catchphrase at Berean. If I ever get one of those plaques, you know, 25 years and on, it's going to say, Mr. Jansen, get to work. Okay? You know, it's just, it's what I, one of those things I say. Okay? Things are caught rather than taught. There's a lot of things we catch. Okay? We catch attitudes. We get responses. We catch how we do things. Like sometimes I'll be like, why am I doing this? Oh, that's how my dad did it. Oh, okay. Or that's how Gary Bennett did it in Rwanda. You know, you catch those things. More is caught than taught. And Paul tells Timothy to be an example in five areas. Okay, not so much in speaking, but in living. Okay, speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Okay. Well, let's go through these quickly. Okay. Words are important, right? They're important because they either have the power to heal and encourage, or they can damage and kill. James describes this in his letter. He says this, we bless our Lord and Father with our tongue, and we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Okay? We do both. Okay? But the next phrase, James says this, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Okay? Yeah, our tongues, the words we say, they have power to heal, they have power to destroy. And hopefully over time, we're growing in our encouragement, in our encouraging words, our power to heal. But there are times when we snap, don't we? And we say something we shouldn't say. We respond in a way we shouldn't. Okay? Paul is telling Timothy, watch your words. Watch what you say. Okay? It's important. Okay? Why? Well, we think about this. Okay? This is the way most people speak. Okay? It's blessing and cursing all together. But we're not to do that. Why? Because we are people in whom Christ dwells. And because he is working in our hearts, our speech should reflect his character. And this is important for Timothy as a pastor. Very important. We should encourage one another and support one another. Okay? Just like Timothy was going to support his audience. We should tell our spouses that we love them. Okay? That's important, guys. We just do it. We don't often say it. Okay? Ladies, it's important to tell your husbands they do a good job. Okay? But there are also times we need to say difficult things. Yet, we can say them in a way that will encourage them to be done instead of condemning someone. Okay? Condemnation isn't scriptural. Okay? Conviction is. Okay? And so we are to watch our words. And Timothy, when he does this, he will gain respect. Okay? Paul also tells Timothy to set an example in his conduct. And this is what Howard and Melanie said before. We're always watched. We're always watched. By our families, by our neighbors, by our coworkers. And the scary thing is now, is how much of what we do is recorded for all of time. Okay? It's like, if I get upset in Walmart at somebody, it's going to be recorded for posterity's sake. I'm like, oh, don't do that. Okay? We're always being watched. Okay? And so, for the most part, I think we can control our conduct. Okay, we have a choice to do that. But it's our reactions that often get us into trouble. Okay, those times we don't think, we just act. Okay, so think about this. How do we react when people are taking a long time at the bank and you have somewhere to be? Okay? What about the times your child throws a tantrum in the middle of Dylan's and everyone's looking at you? That's a great one. Or when your child does this along the cans and you get to the spaghetti section, spaghetti sauce, and their finger catches a jar of spaghetti and it falls and crashes, and everybody's like, you go, I want to hide in a hole right now. Okay, how do you react? Okay, not saying that ever happened to us, Drew. But how do we react in that? How do we react when the clerk is not helpful at all when you're looking for a replacement part? Okay? It happens. It's wise for us to pray for our reactions, that they would be honoring to the Lord, because it's often in our reactions that our true character shines forth. If it does, if our depraved character comes out, our depraved nature comes out, we need to apologize, own up to our mistakes, okay? When we do that, I really believe in the power of a sincere apology. I really do. It can go a long way toward healing the damage that's caused by our poor reactions. Okay, I told you this once, a couple years ago, I think. I had a student, I said something in class that, I don't know, wasn't appropriate or something, and the next day I realized it, and I apologized to the entire class. I said, what I said was wrong. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? Which they did. I had a girl come up to me after class and said, that was the first time I have ever seen a teacher ask for an apology from a student. And I said, I'm sorry. But the power of an apology for a mistake sometimes is even more powerful than doing the right thing. Not that we shouldn't do the right thing, but, okay, apologies we think is just something we, we have to do. No, they can be extremely powerful. The third area Paul calls for Timothy to be an example is love. There are those who are easy to love, are there not? And there are those who are more difficult to love. Does anybody have somebody in your life that is difficult to love? My hand's higher. Okay. We all have people who are difficult to love. Okay? And it's easy to say, I love everyone. Pastor Dan, do you love everyone? Yes, I love everyone. But I might not like you. That's interesting. Okay? But it's our actions that bear out whether we do or not. Okay? I'll be the first to admit, there's times I have to work hard to love some people. Yeah, it's possible. Okay. And the issue I find when I have a hard time loving somebody is not so much about the other person, it's about me. Okay? And I've got to deal with that. Okay? You know, loving other people takes time, energy, self-sacrifice. Love takes listening, laughing, getting to know each other. It's communicated through loves, gifts, pats on the back, quality time. That's why being an example of love to your family members, the congregation, the community are so important, okay? Because people will not listen to you until they know you care, until they know that you love them, okay? That's why relationships are so important, okay? That's why with your children, you foster this relationship so that when you correct them, they know that you love them. Okay. Love is important, and Paul tells Timothy, set an example in love. For those that are not easy to love, love them the same as you do for those that you find easy to love. Go out of your way. Sacrifice. Okay? Set that example. Now, the fourth area, Timothy's called to be an example in faith. He, especially in living out of his faith, which is trust. Okay, Brennan Manning wrote a great book years ago called Ruthless Trust. You know, I can have faith that chair is going to hold me. Okay, I can have faith, but I don't trust that chair unless I sit in it. Okay, this week in shop, I had a student who made a chair. I wish I had a picture. You would all freak out. It's a chair made out of scrap wood and a few screws, okay? I do not know how this thing stands, okay? But different students tried it, and it held them. In fact, one more massive student sat in it, and it held him too. And I'm like, Mr. Jansen, are you going to sit in that chair? I'm like, uh-uh. They go, you sure? I said, uh-huh, I'm positive. Well, I looked at that chair and I'm like, okay, I really have to. And I've totally expected this thing to, like, legs fall out. And okay, Theo, it's like some of your work in shop, okay? No, just had to give you that, okay? No, this thing was like, okay. So gingerly, I got down and I sat in it, didn't move. I was like, okay, it didn't fall. And then stupid me started jiggling a little bit. And I was like, okay, that's wobbling, I'm done. But it did hold me for a little bit, okay? So faith that chair would hold me, but trust was actually sitting in that chair, okay? Paul tells Timothy to set an example in faith and in trust, in living it out, okay? He needs to see him. The congregation needs to see him trust the Lord in different situations, whether that be in conflict, health concerns, opposition by others in town, or trouble in his own family. Living examples of faith are they encourage others to live an active, trusting faith too. That's why we share testimonies. We hear what God is doing in someone's life, and we go, okay, that gives me courage to be a trusting person, to trust the Lord. Okay? And last one, finally, Paul encourages Timothy to be an example in purity. In other words, to do what is right according to Scripture. And this involves recognizing what's evil and turning away from it. Okay, I've been reading in Genesis, and I read the story of Joseph last week. And what Potiphar's wife does. You remember this story, right? Joseph is in Potiphar's house. He's become so successful, he basically becomes manager of the property. But he's handsome. And Potiphar's wife says, I want to sleep with you, basically. Okay? And so she tries to make advances, and Joseph gets away. But finally, she grabs him, okay, to forcibly take him. And what does Joseph do? He runs. He runs. Okay? That's the proper response to temptation. That's the proper response to threats. Okay? To run from threats of sin. Okay? It involves recognizing what's evil, turning away for it. Okay? When temptation comes, run away. Okay? And so that's what we are, that's what Paul tells Timothy to be examples in love and faith and purity, in conduct. And I'm missing the first one. Okay? Speech. Okay? If you are examples in those areas, okay, you will have the respect of your church. You will have the respect of the community. Okay? And again, if we fail, the power of an apology is very, very helpful. Let me just wrap up here by looking at verses 13 to 16. Okay? Paul says this, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Okay? I don't have time today to unpack this fully, but I do want to say this. Okay? Immerse yourself in them. Okay, the public reading of Scripture, exhortation to teaching. Okay, immerse means to cover. It's the idea of being under the water. Okay, submerge yourself in these things. Okay, in Scripture, always be reading, be thinking, be processing. Okay, we read our Bibles in the morning or in our devotions. Okay, then when you're working, put on a sermon or a podcast that will help you keep meditating about it. Have interesting conversations with your spouse. Okay? Your children. Make it a daily practice all the time to see God working. Okay? What is God teaching you? What's this? Or this is how God worked. Or God's cool because he made a chameleon. Or whatever it is. Okay? Just immerse yourself in the Lord. Let it be part of all of your life. Okay? That it just oozes its way out of you. Okay? That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Immerse yourself in Scripture. That's how what God uses, what the Spirit uses to help us to be examples. Not in and of ourselves. Okay, this is the power of the Spirit at work within us. We simply need to cooperate with Him. So let me end with this question. If you wonder why people react to you the way they do, it might be wise to look in the mirror and see what kind of example you're setting. And I have to do this too. I may or may not like what I see. Okay? What is it? Okay, if people react to me in a certain way, okay, what am I conveying to them? Okay? Just food, something to think about. Okay? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this passage from Paul to Timothy. It's very practical, but Lord, so very true. To set an example. You know, when our speech and our actions don't match up, Lord, it creates all sorts of hypocrisy, and people get antagonized against the church because you're just a bunch of hypocrites. And yeah, okay. That's why we ask for forgiveness. That's why we apologize for when we fall short. But Lord, by your power and by your Spirit, would you work inside of us so that how we live matches up to what we say? And Lord, by that, may you be glorified and may your kingdom be advanced. as people see you in us. We give you much thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.